I'm Nick Austin, host of Soul Saturday Heard every Saturday night at 8, where recently we had a chance to sit down with drummer Yusef Days, fresh off the release of his new solo debut, Black Classical Music. Days' passion for rhythms is infectious, as I personally learned during our discussion, exploring what he learned early in his development from a trip to Senegal, the meaning behind the name Black Classical Music, and how an impromptu call and response session led to a beloved track off the new release. But to start, I asked Yusef to explain to the world why he became a drummer.
It was ordained for me, man. I don't remember my time before playing the drums, so honestly, I'll just say it's just my calling, man. One of my, you know, it's not to say it's my only creative outlet, but it's definitely what I was meant to be doing, you know, because even now, I think before my dad got me a drum kit when I was four, I was banging on pots and pans, trying to jam with my brothers. So, and it's photos of that, just trying to see me getting involved. So I think it was... You're just one of those things where, yeah, it's what you're meant to be doing, you know?
And when I think of drums, I think a lot of people, drums are so necessary for a group to perform. But you don't often think of the drummer as a lead on something that he's working on. But right now, you've got the new album, which we're going to get into. And even with some of your projects, the first time I heard you was with the Yusef Kamal duo and things like that. You know, you've always had a really important upfront part in some of the music I've heard. So do you notice that you approach creating music a little bit differently than someone who's not a drummer? How does that work for you?
If I'm being honest with you, I've always had it in my mind that I can express myself in it. And then how can I go into the studio and start a rhythm and the groove feeling nice, or the toms are tuned in a way that it's going to inspire a bass line or it's going to inspire the keys. And it doesn't mean that vice versa, some of the music isn't created for the keys first or whatever, but I know my role is to just bring the vibes and energy to space, and the drums is my voice. Even in African traditions, drum is the original talking, you know, talking drum tama. That was how tribe, they would communicate that science, guanin, whether there's a threat happening or there's a ceremony happening, that's when they let you know what's going on. And I suppose I've been lucky that, I'm not lucky, but I've been blessed that I traveled to Senegal and Cameroon and experienced serious drummers out there that you understand that it's a integral part in a lot of music, you know, whether traditional music or Western music. Is the drum beat is important to making you enjoy the music.
I think that's exactly right. And I'm glad you mentioned Senegal, because I know that you did go there in 2015 and spent a lot of time out there. And when I think of African drumming, right, I do think of a little bit of a musicality in kind of the different pitches of those drums that I don't always think of when I was starting out with percussion. What did you learn from your time there? What were you able to pick up that you bring now to your music?
Just to just leave the square, not the square, but like the metronomic way of how your most people are taught music, or just the rigidness of must stay in time. It must, you know, which is it's not a diss, because you know a lot of amazing music is about just that groove and the steady pace. But I think there was parts of me that wanted to completely free up by having to think about what I'm doing, just like a painter, you know, sometimes you just got to just scribble and just let things flow. And I think sometimes when you've got like a click track in your head, or you're thinking of a steady groove, and it can be quite rigid, man. And I just wanted to just free up on what I'm doing and just let things happen. And I think when I first heard the Sabur drums, and there's a famous Senegalese drummer, Sabur drummer called Dudu Endege Rose, and he has a tribe with all his family, his daughters and his sons, and there's a clang of drummers. And when I first heard them, there was a tightness to what they're doing. There's a regiment to it, but then there's also, they just suddenly go into this next thing with a calling, and it goes somewhere else. And it just made me like, yeah, man, that's sometimes what I'm feeling. And that is outside of the kind of 1, 2, 3, 4 thing that we're setting, you know, whatever time signature you're doing, you know. And I think at a young age, I was like, nah, man, I want to loosen up, you know, I want to.
And that's the beautiful thing about it, right? Especially with music. No one size fits all. Lots of different music, different things for different times and places, which we love. We want to get into some of your versatility a little bit later as we're speaking again with Yusef Days, who's performing November 21st at L Club. But before I get into the music specifically, I want to get into some of your inspirations. And for people who want to learn a little bit more about the drums, who are some of the cats or specific songs? Can you think of a song or two that you hear and you're like, oh, man, that's that groove. What is it about that track that you love?
Well, I know you guys are in Detroit, so I have to shout out Jay Dilla. And I think just, you know, just even how he's playing the NPC and how he, you know, how he makes his beats feel, you know, and the looseness of it. And say maybe you want to go see one of these tracks, African Rhythms.
These are African rhythms passed down to us through ancient spirits. Feel the spirit, a unifying force. Come on, move with the spirit.
Buddy Miles, another amazing drummer, used to play with Jimi Hendrix and the band The Gypsies, which is actually my favorite. Some of my favorite Jimi Hendrix stuff. I know we see him with the English band, and that's incredible music. But when he's with Band of Gypsies, it's just like him and Buddy Miles is a big vibe. Buddy Miles sing as well, so I'm trying to discover that side of me again to use my voice as well. But Max Roach, Elvin
yes,
Jones,
yes, yes,
Sheila E. She's an amazing drummer. Cindy Blackman, Tony Allen.
Breaking them out, I see. And all over the place, too, which is great. And such a great tradition of drumming, which looks like you are attempting to join right now as you released your first LP, just dropped this year, Black Classical Music. Before we get into specific tracks, what's the meaning behind that title? And what are you trying to convey with the album through this?
Just wanted to delve more into the people that have inspired me, whereas Miles Davis, Rashawn Roland Kirk, or Nina Simone, just reading some of their biographies, autobiographies, and just hearing what they had to say. And a lot of the time, they just wasn't really fond of the word jazz, or just how they called their music was always Black classical music, you know. And even traveling to New Orleans last year, I just felt like things were starting to appear, mystics were starting to happen, that just signs that the language we're using around this music that we call jazz is actually, a lot of my heroes weren't even, that didn't call their music that, you know.
Is there a particular song, before I get into something I want to know about, is there a particular song on there you're truly proud, you're proud of them all, I know that, but like that was interesting, or you have an interesting story that you could let us know about from the album?
Okay, I think recently I've kind of come back to it is the track with Masego, March.
That was what I was going to ask you about.
Yeah, I mean, that was like one of the last tracks that came about on the album, and that happened last year. And it's the first time I met him. We went to his house and we had a conversation, and there was a mutual interest in Brazil. He's got a huge fan base out there. So he was like learning Portuguese. And the second time we had this jam session, and we set the drums outside his compound by his pool, and he was at his studio booth, and Elijah was there, Maxwell. And my brother Roy was doing the recording, just getting the mics ready. And we had like a 40 minute hour jam session, and he would say something and I can respond with that on the drum.
I got an idea. Feel free to make a better version of this. Differento.
It was just a big vibe, man, and he just freestyled stuff that we'd even chatted about the way freestyled it, and it's just I wanted to keep that on the record, you know. And I think sometimes we can always over polish the music or go with perfectionism, but I just wanted to show people actually that moment when you are just vibing and things happen and it aligns, and it's like
I had a vision, not a vision, but a marching band. Yeah. I got it.
I think I had a vision, not a vision, but a marching band. Yeah. We need more women in the marching band.
Hey,
listened to it yesterday, I was like, yeah, man, I'm just happy that that one definitely came about. And, you know, Masego, he's a genius. When you actually see him work and the things he can do, he's an amazing vocalist. But then you see him bust on the piano, then he'll bust his saxophone. He's a multi-talented person, you know, and just seeing him catch a vibe, and it was easy, man. It's like, he would say something and I can respond with that on the drums, and that's that communication we were talking about earlier. I feel like in that session in particular, it's just nice to capture those moments where something's being made and you can put that to the people, you know?
That tradition, that call and response, it really does make me think about African drumming also, and you're busting it out right there in the studio. Yeah, you can hear that. That's really wild, man. That's really cool. Again, speaking with Yusef Days coming to town. One way to keep making it a long time is by crossing over into some of the more popular worlds of music. Not to say what you're doing is not popular, because it is. But I know when you hook up with folks like Tom Misch, Freddie Gibbs, do a track like Knight Rider, that really expands the universe of people who get familiar with your work on drums. A very important moment, a very good track. How did that come together, and what was behind that? What did you bring to the table on that? Tell us that story.
Yeah. I mean, so me and Tom have been making a record. I think we started around 2018, and the initial link up was just to catch a vibe, you know? Wasn't no talk of making an album, and then came kind of apparent that every time we got in the studio, we were making enough tracks, and they all sounded nice, and just the more it happened, it just the record album started to appear, you know, album amount of works anyway. And I think kind of going to 2019, we knew we was creating a record, and Knight Rider, we kind of had a feeling that, yeah, I knew something special about it. And I was conversing Freddie Gibbs and his manager, Lambo. Lambo had been hooking me up with sessions when I went to LA for the first time. And I met Freddie Gibbs then at Madlib, and they did a performance at the Nova in LA. And was backstage with them, met House Shoes. Obviously, Madly have come up to me, said he's been loving what we're doing. So it was kind of a moment. And I think around that time, I'd given Freddie Gibbs and Lambo that track. And come and bless it up, man, and just give us a little feature for the album. And it was good, man. It's, sometimes things can happen when you ain't meet people, but that was a moment when actually we locked in first and catch a vibe, and then you come and, you know,
One more thing about the album also, just I was thinking about it, the instrumental portion of it, because a lot of times in mainstream music, people are used to words. I remember I was driving a bus once or in a van, and people are like, can you put on music with words? And I'm like, this is great stuff. Why don't you like this instrumental? I know it can be a challenge for some people. For you, how do you approach creating music for audiences when you know there's folks who are like, hey, how do I get into something without words? Do you have any tricks there? Do you think about it, or you just go?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult because, again, going back to music that I know music that is instrumental and music that has vocals in it, and I'm appreciative of both. You know, some of my favorite records, like Herbie Hancock and the Headhunters, 16-minute track and thing, but you're getting blown away by the drums or Herbie Hancock synth lines and pianos and then the horn arrangements. So it's about having that excitement and those things that people can get into. But I also think sometimes vocals can paint the picture for you, and some people want to paint their own picture, and the instrumental just allows you to even come up with your own melodies, your own thinkings of the music, and not be deterred by something's being said, you know. Or I think sometimes the space of just letting the instruments come to the forefront just allows them to shine. And most times or not, the instruments is what starts the track, even if it's a hit track, even if it's a popular track. It might be the chords, or it might be the drum beat that's so popping that you're like, yeah, man. And there's no right or wrong way in music, man. So I feel like you can even just sing your own melody, you know?
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I feel like it's just a different kind of beauty when the instruments are sometimes, like even what Miles Davis would say, he plays his trumpet like it's a voice, it's his vocal, and you feel it. You feel like you're hearing something. It's like I was saying to you, the talking drum, or the other day I went to a concert and the Senegalese drummer and Nigerian drummers come out the talking drum, and you can hear like it's a voice, and you feel it the same. If I feel it even more, obviously I'm a drummer, so I'm biased, but I feel it. So I suppose I'm, you know, that's just my little way of doing it live. But like I said, I've got on the record, there's tracks with the vocals on there, and then there's some where it's just instrumental. And I think you can just, like I said, you just might be cleaning, you might be driving, might be doing your workout, whatever it is, you can just zone in without having to be so much maybe taken away by lyrics or thing, and that the music will show you. And I feel like that's a kind of healing or a feeling in itself.
I love that vibe, that feeling. Again, you can experience it November 21st at L Club. Yousef Dayes, for people who want to know more about you, what's the best way for them to get in touch? What's the best way for them to find out?
Yeah, man. I got my website. That's yousefdayes.com. And you have all the tour dates, all the merch. And we've got tracksuit coming out. We've got the vinyl there, the box set, or the links to the Bandcamp. You can follow me on the IG, on the Twitter, on Facebook, all the usual. I'm kind of taking a little moment away right now and just trying to spend some time just realigning and learning and reading some book in the time I would be.
Done and done. Beautiful. I'm going to let you get back to that reading. Yousef Dayes, thank you so much for your time and joining us on WDET.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.